Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, all residents in Singapore are set to receive locally produced reusable cloth masks in a third mask distribution exercise. The masks are said to be more comfortable to wear and have better filtration qualities. In fact, mask production has been ramped up across the island. And to find out more, we're joined by Calvin Yang, correspondent at The Straits Times. Hi, Calvin.
Hi, Rachel.
Calvin, so tell us, how are these masks going to be distributed?
With the previous two rounds of distribution, residents can collect them from the CCs and the RCs, but this time around, residents can also pick them up from vending machines across the island. So this will be distributed to them towards the end of the circuit breaker period, which ends on June 1st.
So can you tell us more about these vending machines?
So these vending machines, you know, the unique point this time around is that residents can pick them up wherever they want to, 24/7 at their convenience. The idea is that everyone can have access to the mask without having to rush for them.
So when you go to the vending machines, how will it work? Do you scan your IC or what's the process?
So more details will be released shortly, later this month. But the idea is that they can just go it down, they can scan their IC and they will be able to get their mask.
Right. Okay. So what's the difference then? I mean, I'm curious because as your article said, these masks are more comfortable. They're going to have better filtration qualities. So can you tell us a little bit more about what's so different? What do they look like? What can we expect?
So for now, they have better filtration qualities. They are more comfortable to wear for longer periods. So in an interview with Trade and Industry Minister Chan Chun Sing, he mentioned that the government has been working with local agencies to improve on the materials that they use for this mask. So these masks would be cloth masks. They'll be different from the previous ones in the sense that they are more breathable, so people can actually wear it for more, you know, longer periods.
Right. Anything else? Can we expect different colors? Anything else interesting to note about the new masks? Are they going to be the same kind of shape? Or, you know, we've seen some of these kind of duck-shaped masks that are a little bit easier to breathe in. How would you describe them?
For now, the plan is that they are producing those masks and more details will be released shortly.
Okay. Now, you know, this is the third round of mask distribution.
Yep.
So why organize another round?
Basically, we are in this fight for a long period of time. And, you know, the mask is an essential product for you know, Singaporeans. Mm. So, you know, the mask that we currently have, the reusable ones, even though they are reusable, they are not reusable forever. So earlier this week, Minister Chan actually shared with, you know, us reporters Singapore's thinking about its mask supply. And he mentioned that, you know, the possibility of recurring waves of infection cannot be ruled out. Mm. So there needs to be another round of distribution to ensure that everyone has access to at least one mask during this long fight.
You know, moving on from the reusable masks, I understand that local production is also being ramped up for surgical masks. Can you tell us more about that?
The decision to quickly establish local production came about shortly after the virus outbreak started. So then the government knew there would be a severe global shortage. So it had to conserve its national stockpile of surgical masks for healthcare workers. But it did not help that, you know, some of the earlier arrangements with overseas partners to produce such masks could not be realized because countries were imposing export restrictions on medical supplies. So back then, Singapore had to do things differently, including looking for new sources, you know, stockpiling reusable masks. And then it was decided as well to make surgical masks here, even though that isn't easy because you have to bring in machines, the manpower, you know, the raw materials to make these masks. You know, for instance, each layer in a 3-ply surgical mask can come from a different supply chain. So there are a lot of elements that they need to put together before they actually roll out such masks. So the first made in Singapore surgical mask rolled off a production line in mid-February.
And so you mentioned, you know, that different components usually come from a number of different countries. So these new surgical masks, these are 100% made in Singapore. Is that correct, my understanding?
The ones that would be used to meet the needs of healthcare workers, that would be from the national stockpile, which includes masks that would be produced in Singapore. But for the public in general, government is sourcing for new sources overseas, you know, new partners that it works with to bring in those mask supplies.
Okay, well, it's great to hear that surgical masks are back in strong supply across the island. So you've mentioned that, you know, there is a supply for healthcare workers and also for the general public. Can you give me a better indication of perhaps where these are being produced and what kind of distribution networks we're going to see?
So for now, there's a production line that's run by ST Engineering since middle of February. Has been piloting the production line because it has always done production for N95 masks. So currently it has converted one of its production lines to cater to surgical masks. But Minister Chan did not give an indication of how big our supply is, but he's confident that, you know, Singapore will be able to supply local healthcare workers for quite some time.
And are we likely to see, I mean, looking a little bit further down the line, are we likely to see made in Singapore masks on our supermarket shelves as well?
I think that's a possibility, but I think for now, Singapore is trying to prepare masks for its own healthcare workers. But I think in future, we could see the possibility of surgical masks that's produced in Singapore for Singaporeans as well.
And Calvin, I mean, this announcement came as the number of cases in Singapore crossed the 20,000 mark. And in your article, you also spoke to an analyst on some possible projections. What are we looking at in terms of numbers for the month ahead?
So experts actually predicted that you'll be looking at 30,000 to 40,000 cases in future, especially for this month with the cases. The case numbers, they are dropping, but they are still significant. So we are expecting the number of cases to go beyond 30,000 this month.
30,000 in May, right? And that's along the same trajectory in terms of the makeup of the cases that we've seen at the moment as well, with the majority coming from dormitories, or what were they expecting?
For now, the testing has been done for dormitory workers, and we are likely to see more cases from those classes. But I think for now, a strategy has been to control the virus spread, and Singapore is doing quite well in that sense, because we have seen community cases dropping over the past few months.
We're speaking to Calvin Yang, correspondent at The Straits Times. Calvin, moving on to a slightly different topic, and earlier this week you covered the case of Singapore's youngest patient to pass away from the coronavirus. Now, she'd been declared virus-free 9 days prior to her death. Can you tell us more about the case?
So earlier this week, I spoke with the family of Ms. Sao Han SB, who is the youngest patient here to die from COVID-19 complications. Mm. So she passed on last Thursday. She was just 58. She had been declared virus-free 9 days earlier. But of course, the infection had already taken a toll on her body. So her vital organs, including her kidneys, her liver, were failing, and she was in quite a bad shape. So the hospital actually made an exception to allow, you know, her husband and three children into the ICU she was in. And the family, they gathered by her bedside. They said their final goodbyes just hours before her death. It was quite a different scenario. You know? I mean, for patients of COVID-19 patients, they can't have family members visit. But for Ms. Sao Ha, because she was declared virus-free, her family could come down to say their last goodbyes.
And her family, had any of them contracted COVID-19 as well prior to her passing?
So Ms. Sao Ha actually went on a trip with her husband to Turkey to celebrate their wedding anniversary. The couple actually came back and they were tested positive for COVID-19 days after their return. Their two sons, aged 23 and 32, also contracted the virus later. So I spoke with Mr. Ali, the husband, afterwards, mm-hmm. and he told me that he feels drained by this whole episode that, you know, basically started with that trip. So he would think of his wife every waking moment, and there'll be days where he would just stare into it open. And he mentioned that, you know, she is the love of his life, and they've been together for 38 years, and she was always by his side. So I think he has been coping, but it hasn't been easy for the family.
And it's great that they were given the opportunity to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to ask you then, do you think that this is something that we'll see more of? Patients are cleared of COVID-19 prior to passing away, that they'll be given more opportunities to, you know, say that final farewell to their family members?
I think it's possible in future, but it depends on the scenario as well. There are some hospitals that are more willing to cater to such situations, especially for patients who they know are in such condition. Maybe special arrangements could be made for them.
Okay. Well, Calvin, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate your insights and giving us a lowdown on the new masks that we can expect in the next few weeks. This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3, and we've been speaking to Calvin Yang, correspondent at The Straits Times. Thanks, Calvin.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.